Everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into the NHSCA Sports Hour. This show airs at 6 p.m. every Wednesday. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows, please visit artistfirst.com/nhsca.htm. And I made a mistake. It appears every Thursday, not every Wednesday. Now here's your host of NHSCA, Jeff Fisher.
Oh, that's okay. Just a small mistake there. Thanks a lot, Corey. And good evening, high school football fans, and welcome to the NHSCA Sports Hour for October the 6th. I am Jeff Fisher, founder and editor-in-chief of High School Football America, settling in for 2 hours worth of high school sports talk here on the Artist First Radio Network tonight. We wrap up here on the NHSCA Sports Hour, and then we roll it directly into High School Football America at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. So sit back and enjoy, and we're going to have a really great show for you tonight. I'm really looking forward to the NHSCA show with two great guests tonight. We will kick things off in about 5 minutes with a visit from Dafydd Evans, the head boys soccer coach at DeMatha High School in Hyattsville, Maryland. Evans has built that program into a national power, and last week the Stags beat top-ranked Jesuit from Sacramento, California in the Gateway Soccer Classic. We're going to talk about that and just the general state of high school soccer in America. And then a real treat, we're going to take you halfway around the world to Afghanistan to talk with a high school cross-country coach who loves his sport and loves his country. Marine Staff Sergeant David Taylor will join me to talk about the sport of cross country and serving his country. David and his identical twin brother, Aaron, who we've had on this show before, are the co-founders of CrossCountryNation.com. Beyond that, though, David has helped inspire dozens of runners to achieve goals that may have seemed impossible at the start. Staff Sergeant David Taylor from Afghanistan coming up around 25 minutes past the hour. So let's take a look at some of the headlines before we get to our interviews. Hawaii is just about ready to become the first state to get this, make surfing an official high school sport. Riding the waves will join the likes of football, basketball, volleyball, and swimming as early as the spring of 2013. The governor there in Hawaii says it's quite clear when you think of Hawaii, you think of surfing. Now, judging will be kind of similar to what they do in the pro surf meets, and there will be individual boys and girls champions as well as team champions. It was first approved back in May of 2004, but funding, safety concerns, liability, and other challenges prevented the sport from becoming sanctioned. Students in Hawaii public schools now have 19 different sports, believed to be the most in the nation, from air riflery to bowling, and they produce 44 state champions annually. Now, the cost of the surfing in the first year is estimated to be about $150,000, and the financially strapped state says it does not intend to use any state funds for the new sport. Now, from Kentucky, the Federal Appeals Court in Cincinnati has been asked to rule on an issue that could affect hundreds of students wanting to play sports at private high schools across Kentucky. A three-judge panel of the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals heard oral arguments Wednesday on the constitutionality of a Kentucky High School Athletic Association rule that sets limits on academic scholarships. The rule limits merit-based aid to no more than 25% of the cost of tuition if a student wants to play a sanctioned sport. The plaintiffs, Richard and Nancy Evans, who sued on behalf of their daughters, say the rule discriminates on the basis of religion. Their daughter is now a junior at the Presentation Academy, an all-girls Catholic school in Louisville. The Athletic Association argued the purpose of the rule is to help guard against private schools using scholarships as improper athletic recruiting tools. The association said the rule is applied uniformly, and all private schools, not just religious-based institutions, are affected. The two-year-old legal battle has brought out the dichotomy that exists between the public schools and Catholic schools that play sports sanctioned by the Athletic Association. We've talked about that quite a few times. Finally, we want to remind everyone to go to NHSCA.com to check out the October nominees for the GTM Sportswear NHSCA Athlete of the Month Award. Votes are being tabulated now to determine our September winner. The announcement for the September winner will come next Wednesday. But the six nominees for this month are Beth Cecil, a senior girls volleyball player from Bethlehem High School in Bardstown, Kentucky. Edward Chesarek, an incredible junior cross-country runner for St. Benedict's High School in New Jersey. Jake Mulhart, a senior wide receiver from Camarillo High School, the football team there in California. And there's Maddie Mock, who we talked to on High School Football America back in July. He's a senior quarterback at Kenton, Ohio. And then the last nominee is Baker Mayfield, a junior from Lake Travis High School in Austin, Texas. Go to our website, NHSCA.com, to read the bios on all six of them and then cast your votes. I want to thank our sponsors tonight, CrossCountryNation.com, Dr. Jared Spencer, Gatorade's G-Series, GTM Sportswear, the U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, Growing Great Relationships, MetLife, Dollemure, and All-American Wrestling Supply. Time to take a break. When we come back, David Evans, the boys' head soccer coach at DeMatha High School. That's on the NHSCA Sports Hour, and this is the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
And now back to the NHSCA Sports Hour.
Thank you very much, Corey. Jeff Fisher back with you tonight. A little bit later in the show, a real treat as we go to Afghanistan to talk to Marine Staff Sergeant David Taylor, a high school cross-country coach, but right now it's more important for him to be serving his country, so we'll be talking to Coach Taylor coming up a little bit later. But right now we're going to turn our attention to boys soccer and one of the top teams in the country. I actually mentioned him a couple of weeks ago when we spoke with the gentleman from the Gateway Soccer Classic there. But David Evans is the head coach at the DeMatha High School boys team in Hyattsville, Maryland. 9 years, leader of the Stags, has led his team to 4 Washington Catholic Athletic Conference championships last year, finishing unbeaten, ranked number 3 in the final National Soccer Coaches Association of America rankings. This year going to be another good one. Stags 11-0 after beating Good Counsel Tuesday. They now have a 35-match win streak, and last weekend, DeMatha, ranked number 2 by the National Soccer Coaches Association poll and number 3 by ESPN High School, snapped Sacramento Jesuits' 70-match unbeaten streak with a victory on penalty kicks at the Gateway Classic in St. Louis. So it's a pleasure to bring in Coach Evans to talk about his program. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, it's fun to talk about this. As I said, we've had a lot of big coaches on so far this year. We did talk to Paul Rose at Jesuit a little while ago, but want to kind of catch up on what you're doing down there. You know, before we dive into the big weekend last year, let's kind of get our listeners up to date on what soccer is all about at DeMatha. I mean, I think most people know DeMatha has a basketball power. It's a big history with Coach Morgan Wooten, the football power under Bill McGregor, but now you've built this incredible soccer program. So what are some of your core concepts as a coach that have gone into making this program what it is right now, which is one of the elite in the country?
Thanks for the kind words. It's a special place. DeMatha is a unique school in so many ways, and you mentioned, you know, the other programs who have been successful at DeMatha and currently still are, but I think it goes back, you know, deeper. We just have a fantastic administrative setup at DeMatha, wonderful teachers, a great ethic about the whole place that really gives us, you know, coaches a great chance to to succeed with our young men in sport. And I think a lot of the good work comes, you know, from the parents and from the teachers and from the principal and the AD. Everyone at DeMatha just does an incredible job in setting our young men on their way.
And a little bit later, we're going to talk, you know, about the health of soccer in America. But your program has done a pretty good job of producing some top collegiate players and some professional talent in the MLS. So let's tell our listeners a little bit about some of the great ones that had come through the school, and they've moved on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, over the years we've been fortunate. I think in my 9 years, I think it tops 75 grads we've had in college, and over 50 of them have been Division I. And most recent, you know, we've had some guys go through to the pros in the MLS. We've had Jordan Gray, who played in North Carolina after DeMatha, played at DC, then went on to Houston in the MLS. We've had Andrew Quinn, who played at DeMatha, then Notre Dame, and then got drafted also by DC United. And another player who's currently still with DC United is their starting goalkeeper, Abdul Hamid, who also played at DeMatha, who is the current starting goalkeeper at DeMatha.
Now let's go back to St. Louis and talk about last week's big victory over Jesuit. They had been number one prior to a tie against Cal Davis, and then you guys come out and you win it on PKs, on penalty kicks. So describe the victory now that you've had the better part of the last week to think about that big win.
Yeah, it was a great trip. All our boys, thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a wonderful experience. I think there's nearly 60 high schools from across the country now that'll meet in the Gateway Classic, and it's a wonderful tournament. And people like Eric Stratman, who runs and coordinates so much of it, have done a magnificent job. And it's unique in the way that in high school sports, it's capable of being a central location of attracting, teams that geographically normally would not compete. And, if you're fortunate also, you can, also rank teams at a high level to play each other. So it was as good as it gets, really, in us playing Jesuit, which pretty much was a 1v2 kind of situation for so long. And, only a tie a couple of days earlier kind of hampered that perfect scenario. But still, we knew we were playing arguably the best team in the country that evening, and it was followed a good win we had against St. James of Kansas the night before. But it was a great night for DeMatha, and it was a great night for high school sports and high school soccer. It was a great matchup and a good evening of soccer.
And as I mentioned, I did have Eric on the show a couple of weeks ago to talk about the Classic beforehand, and you mentioned the numbers and the top teams and all that. I would assume you're a big champion of events like this because it puts a good showcase on for soccer, but is there something more that comes out of it? I mean, this is good for the sport of soccer, right, when you can get everybody in one place and truly find out who the best of the best is from various parts of the country.
Yeah, it's unique. America's such a vast, huge country, and whatever it is, 35,000 high schools compete and perform. It's very unique and very difficult to bring, teams together. But, it's a wonderful, wonderful tournament, a wonderful showcase. And as you said, it's difficult when teams are one in the country 1 year or second in the country or the following year to match those teams up. It's unique. And when we had the chance to do it, we always want to play the best teams in the country. And, we're glad it turned out in such a positive way, and our kids have just grown from it and learned to turn, and they're richer for the experience, and we're delighted we took part.
Yeah, and like you said, it's flipping over every 2 or 3 years, and that's what makes that's the beauty of high school sports. Let's give some props to your kids here. I know you returned quite a few players from last year's team. You were a young team last year, so let's tell the listeners a little bit about some of the kids that are the leaders on this year's squad.
Yeah, our captains this year, we have Michael Parker, who is a senior defender captain. He was the one who actually scored the winning penalty on Saturday night. He's committed to the Navy, a fantastic young man, and he's a third-year starter for us. The other captains is Nate Schmidt. He's a senior, and fortunately he got carried off the field on Saturday with a concussion, but he's a fantastic young man who's playing so well for us this year. And the third captain is Ja'Cory Hayes, and he's a junior. at DeMatha, and he's a two-year starter, and he's a great leader of the team and the program also. But we're lucky. We have lots of good young men in the program, and we're still very, very young. It's a mainly junior-based team that will continue to grow and improve, I'm sure.
And because you are a young team, and like you said, next year could be even better, one of the biggest jobs you have as a coach, especially with the national media now and events like the Gateway Classic, there's a lot more of a media spotlight on high school sports, so that means there's rankings out there and all that. How as a coach do you kind of balance all that off, take the pressure off of the kids, and make sure they're focused on the job at hand, which is the next match?
Yeah, it's not easy. I think I'm fortunate, as I mentioned earlier, I have fine young men that DeMatha produced for me to work with, and it starts with the teachers and our principal, Dr. McMahon, and the athletic director, Edward King. I think we do a great job of keeping our boys, you know, their heads on their shoulders and, you know, an even keel, and to be humble and hardworking. But it's difficult, especially with expectation. You know, we were fortunate to have talent and to have, you know, successful seasons and the pressures of that comes with that, with rankings. And the same with this situation now. You know, we're in a situation where, you know, we haven't lost since 2009, and we're playing the very best that are on offer to us, and we compete with the best locally and nationally, and, you know, we fully expect to be number one in the country. And it is a lot for the kids to deal with, but I think the coaches that I have in the program are fantastic. I have Tommy Park, I have Mike Mastroano, I have Jamie O'Connor, Daryl Ferguson, Nick Capus, John McConnell. A lot of good coaches in the program that do a fantastic job with my boys of making every day fun, making every day productive. And we really don't talk about it. We don't talk about the rankings. We just talk about improving every day in training and to be better in the next game. And we let everything else take care of itself, really, and just carry on.
Let's just take a little bit of a left-hand turn here. In addition to being the head coach at DeMatha, you're also you're still the head coach of the DC United's under-20 team, correct?
Well, I was the head coach of under-20s. I have been now working with the under-23s this past season with Jaime Moreno at DC United. So that's still a project that's moving on, and we're trying to develop other things with those age groups.
Yeah, just tell me a little bit about the importance of programs like that when it comes to the development of soccer in America.
I think a lot of transitional things go on in soccer. It's still such a young sport, and it's still trying to find its roots in many ways. And there's still so many ways to improve the whole system in the country. There's lots of enthusiasm, lots of players, but it's still striving to find, you know, the perfect kind of niche. And I think it's important that America just develops its own niche, to be honest, Jeff, because it's so unique as far as sport and education, and as the wonderful, you know, elements of collegiate sport and education. And I think it should be surround that. It should improve itself with its own niche rather than trying to match or parallel itself with other European soccer countries or South America. I think it just needs to embrace its own system and kind of improve that.
Speaking with head coach DeMatha, the boys soccer team, David Evans tonight, give me your assessment of what the health of the sport in high school right now is, especially with club teams becoming bigger and bigger and the pressure to play those versus maybe for the hometown team in that.
Yeah, I think it's, as I said, it's unique what America has, and there's lots of pressures and lots of transitional in systems and what people think and club and high school and academy. But again, you know, as I go back, education is primary for these young men. You know, there's only a small percent, extremely small percent that actually go on and play pro in such a small systematic system in America as far as the MLS. So it's so important they embrace school education, primary first, and enjoy the athletics around that. But what I've tend to see in just my short time, just shy of a decade here in America, that, you know, most of these athletes, you know, who kind of strive in athletics to represent their institution, whether it's high school or college, you know, if they are dedicated academically, or I should say, sorry, athletically, it only then just blesses them and inspires them to study harder. And I think that's primary in high school. If they have a passion for their school in athletics, then usually it shines through to have a greater kind of performance in the classroom, which is, again, so important.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. And let's just kind of wrap up with you pulling a crystal ball out of your pocket here. And since, like you said, you've only been here a decade, you've seen the sport, you know, abroad. Where would you like to see the sport in America in 20 years?
Yes, I would be a wealthy man if I could predict it precisely. But I can see, you know, a gradual progression as it is. And it's wonderful to see that. I think you have to be very sensible with progression. You know, you go back a couple of decades ago when they tried to really push it quickly with Pelé and Beckenbauer, etc., in the country. And a fast fix is normally not something you want to kind of, you know, move forward with. But I think right now, you know, college soccer is improving, and the amount of professional players coming from that is higher. I think it should carry on as it is and just try and improve things. And my suggestion would be to try and isolate maybe that 5% that actually are going to be clear professionals from a younger age, and kind of isolate that 5%. But I would carry on with looking after the 95% of all these young men who are going to be very good college players, and carry on and make sure they get a fantastic education. So I think, you know, that would be, you know, what I would like to see, that they're kind of smarter in isolating pure talent and really safeguard the education of the majority.
Makes a lot of sense. Well, I really appreciate, Coach, you taking the time tonight to talk to us and educating our listeners a little bit about what you're doing there in Maryland. And again, like I said, we always knew it was basketball and football, but you guys are doing making some noise there for the soccer guys. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff.
Have a good night. That is Dafydd Evans, the head soccer coach at DeMatha High School in Hyattsville, Maryland. They are ranked number 2 in the National Soccer Coaches Association poll, number 3 by ESPN. Got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to Afghanistan and talk some cross-country with Marine Staff Sergeant David Taylor, and that and more. When we come back, this is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life. The Navy Seahawk helicopter has a lift capacity of over 6,000 pounds. But when it comes to helping those around the world who need it most, they lift the hopes of millions. To learn more about how the Navy is the best place to do great things, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. It will do you and the world a load of good. Navy. Accelerate your life.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing, stealing, stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show.
We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. Or have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning! Warning!
Happy Birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
High school football fans, the 2011 season is just around the corner, and so is America's premier high school football show. Hi, I'm Jeff Fisher. Join me every Thursday night at 7 p.m. starting July 21st on the Artist First Radio Network for High School Football America. I'll talk with the top coaches and players, plus preview the top games from around the country. High School Football America is your ticket to all that is high school football. Tune in every Thursday at 7 o'clock for High School Football America, beginning July 21st.
And now back to the show with your host, Jeff Fisher.
Thank you very much, Corey. And obviously, we're past July 21st, but don't forget High School Football America coming up in about 34 minutes at the top of the hour. Going to talk some football from Texas, Ohio, and Kansas tonight. Lots of good stuff on the show starting at 7 o'clock. But absolutely my pleasure right now to bring in my next guest, who I've gotten to know basically over the last three or four days. I heard about him through his brother, Aaron Taylor, who was on the show, if you remember, back at the beginning of September. Aaron and David Taylor are the co-founders of Cross Country Nation, which is xcnation.com, and Marine Staff Sergeant David Taylor, based in Afghanistan right now, and it's 3 in the morning there, and I don't know how he's doing it, but he's here to join us tonight to talk a little cross country. Good evening to you, David, or good morning. I'm not sure which it is.
Well, you know, it's evening or morning. I forget what day it is most of the time, but thanks for having me on the show.
Sure, and we're going to kind of take this in steps here as to how you got into cross country and the website and some of the great people you've met along the way. But I guess the first part of the question is, you know, what are you doing right now there serving our country, because you don't have to be doing that. I think that's what you told me a little bit earlier. You're there till May, so tell our listeners what's going on over there in Afghanistan with you.
Well, that's an interesting story. Currently I'm involved in procurement. So I assist using units, and you know, those are the war fighters. They're out there making it happen, and I make sure that when they turn around that what they need's right there. And it's an arduous process. It's an 18 to 20 hour a day process, but I'm passionate about it. And it's something that, you know, I thought, you know, when I finished my master's degree that, you know, that I would know exactly what I wanted to do, and I'd go and do that. But when I did that, I realized what I wanted to do was, keep supporting my country. And I'm happy doing it.
Well, thank you for doing that. And I know the other passion is that thing you do with two legs, the running. And I've learned it through your brother, Aaron. You guys are identical twins, which I didn't even know that until a couple of weeks ago. But anyway, he's been keeping me abreast of what you're doing over there. And he's told me how the two of you have just kind of, you know, run your way through life and run your way to some great things. So let's start with things at the beginning there. How did you get involved in the sport of running in cross country?
Well, I was actually, you know, that's an interesting story. It started with a guy named Hal Vantine, and that was in a little city called Clarkston, Washington. And I was in fifth grade, and Hal Vantine he was in charge of, like, the fitness for the city. It was real, real big back then was this this initiative by President Reagan and President Bush to really up the fitness of youth in America. It was a big push back then. And he had these T-shirt competitions where if you went out and you ran laps around the field, every time you reached a certain mile club, he'd put these numbers on the back of a shirt. And I didn't want to do it. I thought, I'm not going to do that. But then we had to run a mile, obviously, and I beat everybody. And I was kind of shocked. So he just somehow, some way, he got me out there. He got me so inspired by something bigger than myself that I was out there every lunch period running for 30 minutes every single day. And I had a lot of T-shirts. I filled up my shirt probably in 3 months. And I was hooked. And I was fighting so hard to get my brother to come out because all he wanted to do was play football, and he was a pretty remarkable strong safety in football. Even at that young age, You know, he must have gotten an interception every single game. He was tenacious like that. And I think in a lot of ways, we've continued to be tenacious over the last, you know, couple decades.
Well, and the passion comes through in both of your conversations. You obviously love the sport, and I think, you know, Aaron and I, when we spoke back a couple of weeks ago, talking about, you know, it's the one sport where what you put in is what you get out. And I think you can't say it any better than that. So with that being said, and you being over there in Afghanistan right now, I mean, I would assume you're a guy that always keeps in shape, but are you able to fill your passion while you're over there and working for the country?
Well, absolutely. I don't exactly have the latitude to go on any long runs or do that, but there are a lot of heavy things around, and I make it a point every day to get out there and to, you know, your body is much like a machine, and you're either going to use it or you're not. And I make it a point to go out every day for an extended period of time and to have my time. And what's interesting is that passion will breed passion. Action will beget action. So it's not uncommon now for when I get up to go out, you know, that I got a half dozen people going with me, and we just move things. You just find something and you move it. And, it, you know, when that gets easy to move, you find something heavier and you move it. The big thing is you just got to keep moving. You got to do something. I am very active.
Yeah, and you're all about inspiring people from what I've kind of gathered through our brief chats and emails and your brother telling me a little bit about that. And that gets to the point of getting into coaching. And I know you've been at three different places, and I want to talk about these great stories along the way. But so you're a great runner. You've got this passion. You've got this inspiration. You want to inspire people. It sounds like the perfect foray into coaching. But what did get you exactly into coaching?
Well, actually, I was passionate about it, but I wasn't inspired to assist other people until I was about 16, and then and that's when I kind of got that. I got that inspiration that it wasn't just about me. It was about what. It's not just about what you're doing in life. It's about what are the people around you doing. What are you doing to carry them along with you? And I would have to say the day I knew I was going to be a coach was the day I was standing in Steve Prefontaine's house. And from there, it was one remarkable interaction after another until I did end up in those locations. You know, I did end up at East. I did end up at Shadle Park, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But I would have to say that the day I knew I was going to be, the term coach is kind of, it's loosely used. I think a motivator. The day I knew I was going to be a motivator, that I could use my passion to inspire other people to action, was when I was 16 years old. And it was almost clear as day I knew exactly what I was going to do. And it's, you know, it's happened.
You know, I think you kind of move things around on the mute, but that's a great thing about live radio. You brought up the name Prefontaine, which you know, yeah. We're going to get to that, and it's an incredible story that I want to tell. So let's kind of dive into that a little bit. You know, I don't think, even if you're not a track and field person or you know a lot about running, I think, you know, Prefontaine is a name that comes to mind. Died tragically at the age of 24 in a car accident. The quintessential American, you know, middle and long distance runner, I guess, is the way I would classify him. But tell us a little bit about a meeting you had. I guess it was the mid-90s where you actually got to go to his dad's house and talk to Ray. So if you could set that up for the people, that would be great.
Well, absolutely. I was 16 years old, and most people don't know, but Steve Prefontaine in his final couple years was the most popular athlete in America. He was the LeBron James of his day and age. There wasn't a sports section that he wasn't in every single day, and he was that enigmatic. But I was 16 years old. I was well versed in who he was, and I actually fell asleep on a trip back from a national meet down in San Jose, California. Woke up. Asked my mom where we're at. She said Coos Bay, Oregon. It was an instantaneous movement. I went to the nearest phone, and 20 minutes later, you know, we're in his house. And you know, when you're 16 years old, you don't quite know what to make of it, how to place that reality of that happening. It's so surreal. It's so surreal because you realize in that moment that the person that you put on a pedestal, that they're just like you. They have a hard-working family just like you. They're a normal kid just like you. They have normal friends just like you. The only difference is they are incredibly committed hard workers. And you ask yourself, you got to ask yourself, can I be an incredibly committed hard worker? And, you know, I was in the kitchen with Ray Prefontaine, and he had a box sitting on the countertop, and he said, hey, I just got this today. And he opened it up right there with us, and it was the 20th anniversary of his passing, and he was getting ready to take that down to the Prefontaine Classic, or up to the Prefontaine Classic, because Coos Bay is a little south. And he opened it up, and it was that AAU uniform. And he wanted to take pictures, and then he got emotional, and that caught me off guard. And he asked me if I'd put it on. So, of course, I jumped at that. And I put, you know, who wouldn't? So I put it on, and it was so amazing because he was about my size, and he was about my height. And I just, it was almost like a light bulb went off in my head that this is something I can do. And not only that, but I could take what I had felt that day when I was in the kitchen with Ray, and he didn't talk to me about the enigma that occurred after his passing. He talked to me about the hardworking young man who had the commitment to a goal greater than self, to put that first step out of bed every single morning to go and make every single day the best day he's ever had. And he lived his life like that. And I thought, can I do that too? And, you know, when Ray put his hands on, you know, because I didn't grow up with a father. And he knew that, and he really wanted to talk about that. Kind of caught me off guard. It caught my mom off guard. And he put his hands on my shoulder, and he said, hey, listen, if you got to go through life thinking that what you do matters to Steve Prefontaine's dad, then you got to do that because it matters to me. And he told me to go out there and to not spread the message of somebody who you can't be like, but he told me to go out there and share the message about a little boy who dreamed big and he worked hard. And I think in a lot of ways that XC Nation has been a medium to express that. And we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years that same inspiration and passion filling kids like Lucas Verbikas or Omar Musa, you know, kids who we first spoke to as freshmen. And look where they are now. But that's where it started. I knew from that moment forward.
Well, that
and
I got chills at one point. And the funny thing is I did talk to Aaron about that a little bit today to kind of set up this interview, and I knew it was going to happen. And to be honest, I didn't know if you'd go right into it or not. So that just that story of the meeting with Ray and the uniform showing up, absolutely incredible. Listeners, we're talking with Marine Staff Sergeant David Taylor tonight of XCNation.com, CrossCountryNation.com, and he and his brother, his identical twin brother, are really, really doing a lot of wonderful things to promote the sport of long-distance running and cross-country with rankings, individual and team. And, David's just being so gracious tonight at 3 o'clock in the morning to talk to us from Afghanistan. So if you just tuned in, that's what's happening here, folks. And it's hard to believe, but he sounds just right next door. So, you know, out of that, the meeting with Ray Prefontaine, you talk about how it's inspired you and all that. I got to ask you this question because when I was talking to Aaron today and he told me the story, and now that I hear you tell it, I'm not trying to go a little weird here on you, but it seems like there's some forces of nature that are separate from what just, you know, rational people that go from point A to point B think.
Absolutely.
Did you feel that way? I mean, I'm not saying that Prefontaine is in you, but I'm just saying it's a little
it's
different.
It's been that way. It is a little different. You know, it's kind of bizarre. When the day I knew I was supposed to be a Marine, it was I literally woke up and I just knew. And it was just a couple weeks later I was in boot camp, and it was 9 months later I was stationed in Kaneohe Bay, Hawaii. And I wanted to get active in a local running club, And this is, it's just these bizarre coincidences in life. So I had the meeting with Steve Prefontaine. I call his phone number for this running club, and it's this gentleman. He doesn't tell me his name. He's got a high, squeaky voice. Tells me to come on over to Kapi'olani Park, Coconut Road Runners Club, and I show up, and it's Jerry Lindgren. Jerry Lindgren, you know, outside of Prefontaine, was the other greatest high school distance runner of all time, who made the Olympics as a senior in high school. Hmm? What's that?
No, I said, yeah, number two.
Number two, and I spent 2 years with him every single day hearing just the most amazing stories, and you asked yourself, how does this happen? How is it possible this happens? And he's the one who said, you got to go coach. You got to go. You have everything in you to be, if God put you here to be you, then he put everything in you to be the best you every single day. And you got to go out and you got to coach. I said, well, if I get the opportunity, Jerry, I'm going to do it. And
that comes up in,
it was a couple years.
2005, right?
I ended up, so then I end up in Utah in 2005. And that opportunity came. It was instantaneous. It was my first month there. It just came. And it was a great gentleman named Ben Stoll at East High School. He was running the program on his own. And he really wanted to have a year where he could just focus on the girls, wanted me to come in and help out with the boys. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of expectation. They hadn't medaled at state since 1979. You know, that was a long time. And the top three returners that they had gone to the state meet the year prior, but they had placed in the 70s and 80s. There was nothing significant, but I refused to believe that there wasn't a level of excellence that they could reach. So, you know, we went to work.
And you pumped out some pretty good results, so you can tell the people.
Yeah, in about 9 months, it was interesting. Basketball player, there's something about biomechanics. There's a reason I really like soccer. There's a reason I really like basketball. And it's because of the biomechanics. There are movements of the body. You know, if any parent wants to get their kids involved in a sport to really affect the way their bodies function, there's nothing better than soccer or basketball, and in some cases football. And the best runners have the best biomechanics. And so Jeremiah Johnson, I just saw him playing basketball, and I went up to him and I said, hey, you got to come out and run. And he said, well, I want to play basketball. I said, well, you can do both. And I just told him, I said, there is no reason that you can't be the best runner and the best basketball player. So he agreed to come out a couple times, and he came out, and he worked really hard. He wasn't that good at first. He worked really hard. Long story short, 9 months later, you know, he wins state, and Mike Budge gets fourth, Jermont Roberts gets 11th, Jorge Pile gets 12th, and Jeff Comby gets 26th. We get second. We lose by 7 points, and it was a heartbreaking loss, but it was something we accepted because we had worked so hard in the face of such opposition in such a short period of time. And at times, and it's like I told you the other day, at times you have got to accept that you may be the only one believing that what shouldn't happen will happen. But if you do that enough, and every day is a new day and an opportunity, you're going to achieve your goal sooner or later. You know, the tragedy behind that is the week prior to the state meet, we actually had to suspend our number three runner on our team. But we did it for the right reasons, and the athlete understood why. So there was a lot of people that said, well, you guys should have won that meet. But, you know, I think it was far more important for James Mack, you know, to win his life. and you know, he ended up correcting his life and going to Stanford. You know, that's a pretty good school.
That's a win. So, that you know, gold medal or not, that's a win there, and that's the perfect thing. And I mean, I've been around high school sports for the better part of 35 years, and the story about Jeremiah, I mean, 9 months for a kid that never ever did that to go out and win a state is incredible. So now let's move on. A couple of years later, you're in Spokane, Washington, and Shadle Park High School, another another school that lifted up.
Yeah, they had really struggled. Since 1988, they hadn't been ranked in the state at all. You know, but when I had gone there, they had just a tremendous coach. His name is Bruce Hafferkamp. They had a tremendous girls coach, just a great girls program ran by Bob Isett. The year prior to me going, they were actually ranked as high as third in the country. Really great coach. Bruce was a great coach, but he was more of a fatherly figure, and he could really pull the numbers out. But he was in a league where every year there was three teams, the Greater Spokane League, three teams that were ranked in the top 15 nationally. So you get to a point where you have to decide what is going to be your impact. And his impact was, I'm going to create the best student athletes possible. And I'm pretty sure that Bruce Haverkamp's record of kids going to Ivy League schools is far greater than probably most in the country. But he said, you know, he wanted some help to try to close the gap. And he had a pretty good runner there named Nathan Weitz, who there was something, he was right there on the line, he couldn't break through. He was always right there, but he just couldn't break through. And he just wanted my help with him. So I came in there, and we put in a really good 6 months. And Nathan Weitz, you know, the first day I met him, I told him, from this point forward, you know, you're number one. And I'm going to call you number one until you believe it. And at the end of the day, when the uniforms come off, the only difference between you and the kid across the street who keeps beating you is who's working harder and what level of commitment are you willing to make to achieve that success. And we went to work. We went to work and ended up getting up to fifth in the state. He ended up winning state. And Nathan Weitz won state again. And you know, the second kid I had worked with that had won. And it was a pretty remarkable situation, because he was absolutely not the favorite. But we had set a goal. We had talked about that goal for 6 months, and in every increment was a step to get there. And the team as a whole came there together. And, you know, that was probably the most fulfilling experience as a coach, because I was able to really work with, I think the most fulfilling portion of it was learning that other fatherly side of being a coach. And for that, I'm forever indebted to Bruce Hafferkamp.
Well, again, your brother Aaron told me about calling the kid number one, calling Nathan number one, and I just these stories just put a smile
every
on
day.
My face. And listeners, if you think I should be interrupting, I'm not. David just tells a great story here, so there's no need. I just have to toss some softballs again. His name is David Taylor.
You know what was great?
Yes, go ahead.
You know what was great was when he crossed the finish line, and I felt like a 12-year-old school kid. I was freaking out, but to run up to him and to grab his hand and to look at him and say, "Great job, number one," and he was number one, and he understood the entire journey to get there, and it was a very difficult journey. But any journey in life that's any goal in life that's worth getting is worth the journey to get there.
Well, and now the journey that you're waiting for is when you leave Afghanistan, and I guess according to what you put here in the email, this is where you're going back to Jacksonville, North Carolina, White Oak High School, the next fix-it job, I guess is the
Absolutely.
Best way to put it. So tell me a little bit about the program there.
Well, before I had left Shadle Park, just weird situation where I crossed paths with a gentleman who was the coach at White Oak High School. And he really, what same situation, he really wanted to focus on the girls. The boys, they had gone to state for nine straight years, but they had gotten dead last for nine straight years. Great program. There was nothing wrong with them. But what is there that's missing? What is it that we could do to where the kids could achieve that next level of success? Because, you know, success breeds success. And like you know, in high school sports, success in one area of your life generally builds the confidence to be the greater level of success in another.
Right.
And so we went down there, and I put in the time over the summer. And you know what's great about White Oak High School and why I'm going to be there probably for the rest of my life working with those kids is their parents are Marines. And there's something to be said about that shared understanding about things. And, you know, it's 6 a.m. every morning. You know, the parents were there with their kids, and they were there cheerfully. At, you know, 7 p.m. at night, they were there. and they understood the journey, and we understood what we were trying to do. And you know, we're going to win the state meet next year. And I feel confident in making that statement because I understand how committed the kids are. You know, kids like JT Booker, who put in the time over the summer. He was a soccer player. I convinced him that he could be successful. He could be very successful because of his biomechanics in cross-country running. Lucas Verzbikas and Amar Musa were actually the deciders. You know, he had a conversation in Amar's last month. You're familiar with Amar Musa, correct?
Yes.
And he was the top runner at Arcadia High School, and he made a personal conversation with JT Booker. And you know what's interesting is when you take a moment of your time to inspire a kid and to help them realize that a goal is possible, they'll measure up to it. They want to. You know, he's got first or second. He's a junior, and he's got first or second in every meet this fall. You know, he won the city and county championships. We're waiting to find out how he does at the region meet. I know he's going to do very well in the state meet. But you ask anybody on that team, what is our goal? And they'll tell you, we're in the 12-month shoot. Coach Taylor gets back, we're going to go win state. And
they're waiting for you to get back.
I just got a letter the other day from him, and it's just such an upliftment to know that when you know, and there's a lot of people that they don't understand, but, you know, that the most important thing is that the kids and their parents understand. And
you don't have to explain in that situation. we got about 3 or 4 minutes left here before we got to say goodbye. So let's wrap up with a couple of things here. I think the first thing I want to ask you is, having heard the stories at these three high schools and some of the other stories about Ray Prefontaine and all these wonderful stories you're telling, it takes me to the mindset of kids these days. And unfortunately, you know, in the media we hear, oh, there's some bad kids, and I try to promote the good part of sport, that there are wonderful kids with wonderful attitudes doing wonderful things in the community with great grades and all that, but there's the other side where they're saying, kids are not the same. So from a standpoint of someone that's highly motivated like you, that's into the inspirational aspect of it, how would you say the kids are different? You're 33 years old from the day that you kind of met Pree's father and over the last 17 years.
Well, I don't think they're different at all. I think they're the same kids, and they're only going to be as committed as the leadership that's committed to them. And the reason I say that is we live in a different day and age with different social connections, and those social connections actually are very divisive to actual meaningful connections. So kids today are the same as they were when I was a kid. They all want to achieve something great. They all want someone to show them how to get there. And in some shape, manner, or form, they all want to commit to something. So they will be as committed as the adult that's committed to them. And I'm living proof. And it's not just in the three states I've coached, but it's in the Marine Corps. Anybody who crosses paths with me knows how motivated and passionate I am every single day. And I tell you what, you set the tempo. And if you set the tempo, they will follow. It's like I told you, you're running with the flag. Pretty soon someone's going to notice you, and they're going to come run with you. And one of those days, they're going to take the flag from you. And I think that's, if anyone's looking to make an impact, that is the number one thing you got to do. You got to be more committed to them until they're as equally committed to you.
Now let's get two more questions in here. I think we have time for it. One of the things I mentioned to Aaron is there was a study just released by the National Federation of High School Athletic Associations that says that cross country is the second fastest growing sport in America between boys and girls. What kind of smile does that put on your face or loving your heart when you hear that this sport is not dying, it is just exploding?
Well, it makes me proud, and the reason is that, you know, in a short period of time, I would expect it to be the top sport, and that's how passionate I am about it, because it's one of those sports where you don't have to be the big guy, and you can be great. You can be the big guy, and you can be great. It's one of those sports where how committed you are is how much success you're going to get, It's like I heard Aaron say that it's not the little brother of track and field anymore. You know, cross country is its own sport. It has its own following. It is very, very inspiring to see a kid push through his limits. And believe it or not, there's a lot of teamwork that's involved with running. It's more than just an A to B thing. There's a whole coaching concept behind it. But it makes me happy. Long story short.
That's good. Now, the last one before we go is your other passion, which is XCNation.com, CrossCountryCotton.com, for people that don't know it. We've only got about a minute and a half here, but I think I told you the other day, we had the interview with Tom Heath, the Christian Brothers Academy. Thanks to your links on your website, 123,000 downloads, which blew away our average. So tell me a little bit about why you guys together have co-founded this and really what the goal is ultimately for this website.
Well, the entire goal, you know, when I sat down with Bob Isett and Don Cardong, another big name, and we talked about things we wanted to do, the goal was, can you take something out of the hands of marketing companies or out of the hands of people who are looking to get something from the kids and just give it back, just give it to the kids? You know, and I think that's why XC Nation has been so successful, and I think that's where the future of our type of endeavors will be successful, is when you actually put the sport in the hands of the kids. XC Nation means a cross-country nation. It's not Aaron and David Taylor. It's guys like Lucas Verbikas, JT Booker. You know, it's guys like Nick Hauger up at Shadle Park, who's a sophomore and sweating every single day to be the best he can because he wants to be like Nathan Weitz. It's guys like that. This sport is not for the elite. It's for everybody because everybody can be elite. I think that's why it's been so successful, and that's the concept behind XC Nation. It's theirs. It's not ours. It's theirs. So we keep that perspective.
You guys have done a great job. I can't thank you enough. Again, it's probably, what, now 4 in the morning in Afghanistan, but I really appreciate you taking the time. The passion came through. I'm sure my listeners have loved it, and I'm looking forward to a long relationship of keeping in touch with you, David. You again, be safe over there, and can't wait for you to be back here inspiring young men.
All right, real
country paths.
Well, thank you very much. Real quick, if Lucas for Vegas is listening, V is for victory. Good luck in your first college race.
You are the ultimate guy. You keep cheerleading even from half a world away. Thank you so much, David, and thank you for serving our country, and look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Yep, take care. That is Marine Staff Sergeant David Taylor. He and his brother co-founded XCNation.com. Go to it. Check it out. It is a wonderful website. Going to wrap up here real quickly. Want to thank Daffod Evans, the head boys soccer coach at Dematha High School tonight in Hyattsville, Maryland. Big win over Jesuit from Sacramento. Snapped their 70-match unbeaten streak. And we are out of here for tonight, but don't go away. In about 2 minutes, we return with High School Football America. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll talk to you in 2 minutes on High School Football America. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.